A very special Ham Nation coming up next. We have a face and a voice and a call sign that should be very familiar to anybody who was around ham radio in the 90s. Riley Hollingsworth, K4ZDH, he's back on the scene, and he's going to tell us all about what is going on with him and the ARRL and the FCC. Also, from K3LR, the superstation, we have Team Exuberance. It is a six-person youth ham radio contesting team par excellence. And just a quick aside, two of those six are Young Ham of the Year award recipients. So it's going to be a special weekend in the contest this weekend. Join us next, and we'll tell you all about it here on Ham Nation.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 395, recorded March 27th, 2019. Team Exuberance, Young Ops, take over K3LR.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bob Heil, K9EID, and I'm in my office in Belleville, Illinois, in my home. I'm not at the plant where we build things, but that means nothing. I am here to introduce some of the world's greatest hams, at least they will be, but I understood one of them's running about 50-some words of code, so they're way ahead of us. We have special guests tonight. First of all, Riley Hollingsworth is with us, K4ZDH, and you will remember Riley from years back, and he's back again, and we're going to find out a little bit about what Riley's up to. Then we're going to do something very special. George is not with us tonight. Gordo's not with us tonight. Valerie's not with us. They all have given their time because we're going to spend about a half an hour at K3LR. I see you have some friends with you, right, Mr. Tim?
Yes, Bob. We're very excited about it, and thanks very much for having us on the show. I think we've got a great story to tell and hope we can spread the word.
Yes, it's all about Team Exuberance. And if you don't know what that's all about, stick around. It's something really special that's happening in ham radio. But we also have Don. Don is here. Don, you got some things with Newsline and maybe something about the weather.
Yeah, we have a little bit of solar update from Dr. T. She's not with us tonight on video, but we have the information nonetheless. And, of course, we have the latest from Amateur Radio Newsline. However, our lead story is shot. Our lead story was going to be Bouvet Island, but they had to turn back today because of weather. And so that's a breaking story, and we'll have more on that as it comes in, Bob.
Okay, very good. Thanks for being here, everybody. Well, let's go talk to Riley. Riley and I have been friends for years. We share the same birth date, October the 5th. And once in a while, we get together and have a dinner and a cake. And his wife, Pat, and my wife, Sarah, we've enjoyed our friendships for a long time. Riley, it's good to have you back into ham radio. How are things and what's new?
Well, Bob, a lot of new things, I guess. When I retired, I stayed very active in amateur radio, of course, and worked with the league quite a bit. And various things. And over the years, had a few meetings with Laura, Laura Smith at the FCC, not too many of them, but a few of them. But in the last few years, the FCC in several meetings began discussing overall enforcement in the amateur service. And they made a suggestion that was really great news to the league. They wanted us to start thinking about a new and stronger program to replace a longstanding official observer program. Now, this was after a year ago, I got the vice director position in the Atlantic division. And we were talking about these things, and the FCC wanted to set up an agreement. And the deal was, if the league would strengthen the official observer program and have better training and better vetting of the cases, then the commission would agree to use their work as a basis for a first instance enforcement action. So this was a great opportunity because the FCC has lost a lot of field offices since 1994, you know, the original agreement. And the antenna monitoring stations are still there, but a lot of the field offices closed. And a lot of the engineers have been gone. Certain chairman, or one particular chairman, really cut back the FCC. So this developed, and we came to a meeting of the minds, and I thought it would be more interesting, and I could contribute a good bit more by doing that rather than being a vice director of the Atlantic Division. We have a great division out here, but as a vice director, you know, you don't really vote, and really you're sort of a stand-in for the director. So I talked to the league about setting up the volunteer monitor program. We have the agreement that the FCC made here on my desk, and they're going to take it over to Laura Friday, and we'll get the FCC signature on it. It's all ready to go. Everybody has edited and vetted it and everything else. And so I'm going to be setting up that program. And we'll have a couple of hundred volunteer monitors. We had about 700 official observers, but only about a third were active. And so we're going to have about a couple hundred. The training will be a little more intense and should be more fun. And we promise that it won't be death by PowerPoint, but we'll have some good training. And the FCC will participate in that training, too. So we're working on the details of it now. And we're saying that we should be accepting reports of volunteer monitors in 9 to 12 months. I think it'll be quicker than that, really. And so I'm really anxious to see how this pans out. It's exciting to do it.
All righty. This new movement, it's going to replace the original OO, the guys that sent you the pink slips. I imagine that this is going to have a little more power than just the OO thing, as I see it, because first of all, you're kind of overseeing all this, but I imagine you're handpicking these people also, and that's, we really need some enforcement today. If not worse, it equally better, worse than it was years ago. I swear, some of the things today we hear on the air, we don't even want our wives and children to listen, and that's not right. And I know from years past, you can do something about that, but now you're going to have a few hundred people to help you. Is that, I understand that properly?
That's true, but going back a little bit, the reason that the FCC made this offer to us was because of the really great work that the official observers did over the years. In fact, when I started the enforcement program back in 98 and 1999, the first 15 or 20 cases that we started were cases turned in by the official observers. But over the years, they got disheartened as FCC enforcement became slower. And Laura has done a great job of maintaining this enforcement, given the obstacles that she's had to work on. And there have been a lot of months where Laura was called on by the commission to work on other matters, such as mass media matters and things like that. So we hope that the existing official observers will apply to be volunteer monitors. We'll have applications up on the league website in a couple of months, I would hope. And we hope they will apply. Like I said, we won't have as many volunteer monitors as we had official observers, but I also said that only about a third of the OOs were active. So I'm hoping that all of the OOs will apply for volunteer monitor positions, and I think they will enjoy the better training that they get. And yes, this will be quite a bit stronger. And as I said, the FCC has agreed that if we set up this program correctly, they will accept what we report to them as the basis for a first instance enforcement action, and they won't have to verify and send the field out to verify and redo everything that the volunteer monitors did. So it should be a force multiplier here for amateur enforcement in a time when FCC resources are rather scarce And look at all that the FCC has to deal with these days, everything from universal service fraud to internet issues to robocalling and so forth. So I'm hoping that this will make up the difference.
Well, that's great. I think a big difference is having you in there because you know the ropes. You've been there a long time previously. So personally, I'm really looking forward to this because we do need some power with the observers and everyone at the FCC to listen to you and clean up the airwaves. We really want to do that. So I think they have the right guy, and it looks like you're putting the right team together. So that'll be wonderful. Do you have a place that some of the people can come to if they want to apply for this? How will that happen if you want to be one of your team?
Yes. I would say just watch the ARRL letter and the website. And I'm not going to select them myself. It'll be a joint project with ARRL staff and section managers and everybody involved. We'll look over the applications, and we'll do telephone interviews with all of them. So no one person is going to make the selection. But I would say to these people interested, and I hope a lot of people will be interested, especially OOs, just stay tuned to the league website, and you'll see information on when to apply and how. It'll be an online application, fairly easy process.
That's great. Well, it's another reason for everyone to join the ARRL. I have not been one of those to say that for quite a few years because things weren't good. But I have to tell you, in the last few years, the ARRL has really come a fur piece, as we say down here. It's really wonderful to see that. The magazine is great, many more better articles. But the main thing I'm watching are the people that have come forth with the ARRL. They're listening to all of the licensees and bringing in people like yourself. And we're just really, really thrilled. I am especially because I'm seeing a big change in the league. And I've been there since 1956. So I've seen a lot of comes and goes. And I'm proud to be a life member. But everybody should really pay attention here and see if we can give you a little support. And anything we can do, Riley, why, this airwave is yours. And we appreciate you spending some time tonight and giving us a little bit insight of what's about to happen.
I appreciate the Bob, and probably we should do this regularly, and I'll keep you as posted on everything as much as I can.
That would be wonderful. We'll have a session with Riley, and that'll be great. Well, thank you so much, and we'll look forward to hearing some more from you, and I'll say it a few months in advance, a happy birthday.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And Tim, good luck this weekend.
All right. Thanks, Riley.
Hey, okay. Riley, before you go, we've had some chat room questions regarding ARRL membership. Is that a prerequisite to participate in this program?
Yes, it will be, because the agreement that the FCC made is with the ARRL.
I see. Okay, very good. Yeah, we had several questions regarding that in the chat room. Good to clear that up. Appreciate it. And thank you for being here with us tonight. We appreciate you.
Thank you. If non-members, I will say this. If non-members of the league have a complaint and have something they think that the volunteer monitor should be involved in, there will be a process for them to get that information to the league, and that will be parceled out to the volunteer monitor. So we're not excluding the basis or the source of complaints. But since the agreement is specifically with the league, you will have to be a league member to do that. But league membership, and I don't mean to make an advertisement here, but the ARRL is all the amateur radio has to represent us nationally and internationally. If there were two or three organizations doing that, it would be different. But the ARRL is the only thing standing between amateur radio and de-licensing, I think.
Yeah, that is true. We really need to get the power together. And we can all do it, everybody. And it doesn't cost that much to belong to the league, that's for sure. And appreciate you being here, Riley. We'll stay in touch and have you back occasionally. And now that you got your computer running, why, we'll see more of you here. And congratulations on the new appointment.
Thank you, Bob. And hope everybody has a good weekend in the contest.
Okay, very good. Well, we have some excitement happening out on K3LR, but before we do, we're going to go back to Don because he's got something to talk about where we can buy some really great gear and get some really good technical advice should you need it.
Exactly, and that's from K3LR because it's DX Engineering. You can improve your station's receiver audio, and it's a great way, actually a sound way, if you'll pardon the pun, to upgrade this spring, and DX Engineering can, of course, make it happen for you. They stock a wide range of base station speakers from trusted brands like Phonema. Phonema is the brand that gives you cutting-edge external speakers and modification and upgrade kits. That's an interesting concept. Phonema's Miranda speaker looks great, sounds even better. It's an 8-ohm speaker. The Miranda comes in a convenient size to match select ICOM, Kenwood, Yaesu, and Tentec rigs, and it delivers rich, articulate sound. The Phonema Rhea speakers match modern transceivers with a front height of 4.5 inches. They're also a good choice for improving legacy receivers going all the way back to the 1950s. Now, here's the part that I find fascinating. Easy to install Phonema FITS, that's P-H-I-T-S, FITS acoustic modification kits dramatically improve the sound quality of popular ICOM, Yaesu, and Kenwood speakers. And these kits come with pre-cut acoustical foam for reducing reverberation and other conditions that affect clear sound reproduction. And the FITS upgrade kits include a replacement speaker driver and the acoustical foam. BHI is another trusted brand. BHI's DSP noise cancellation speakers are a smart choice for DXing and contesting. They remove unwanted background noise and interference to leave clear, intelligible speech and CW signals. And the BHI brand is ideal for reducing the strain of chasing weak signals or sorting out pileups. Multi-purpose or base station models come with up to 8 filter levels. ICOM Kenwood Yaesu speakers, perfectly paired for use with specific transceivers. The ICOM SP41 is a perfect match for the 7610. It's been made to handle the new generation of direct sampling base station radios. Kenwood's SP890W speaker is a perfect companion for your TS-890S transceiver. And Yaesu's SP101 matches the new FT-DX101D transceiver. And, of course, you visit dxengineering.com for the complete lineup of transceiver-specific external speakers and a lot more. DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. If you get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern, and if it's in stock, it'll be on a truck headed your way tonight. Proven products, expert advice, the best people. DX Engineering is helping you shrink the globe. Request your catalog, shop online 24/7 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. We thank DX Engineering for their support of Ham Nation. I got the tour of DX Engineering front and back from Tim Duffy a few years ago, and it's worth the trip to get up there to Ohio and go check it out. Just absolutely amazing operation and amazing people, and we're happy to have them be on our Ham Nation team. Bob, back to you, and let's see what's going on with Mr. Duffy.
We know what's going on with Mr. Duffy. It's a fun time out there, and the best thing we can do is turn the show over to Tim and the guys and let them tell you about the entire weekend that's about to happen in good old Pennsylvania. So, Tim, it's all yours. Let's hear what's going on. I wish we could be there.
Well, we wish you were here too, Bob. And certainly it was great to have you and Jerry visit out here at K3LR. It's always good to see you. And we're thrilled to have this project that actually was started with Violetta, KM4ATT, as part of Team Exuberance. And she approached me and said, hey, I have an idea. I'd like to bring 5 of my friends to K3LR for the CQWPX phone contest in March of 2019. Is that okay with you? And I said, it sure is. So she went to work and found 5 great operators, some of which she had operated with down on the David Coulter Youth DX project down in Curacao at PJ2Y. And she found 5, including David, who's with me here tonight. And, of course, David's father, Stefan, is here as well, and along with Marty and Bryant and Levi and Tommy. And there he is, Marty, NN1C, formerly KC1CWF. He's still up in Massachusetts. He can't wait to get to the airport to fly in here tomorrow. All of the operators will be here tomorrow night. And then Friday, boy, what a special day it's going to be, Bob, because we start the day at DX Engineering. And all of the six operators and the three parents that are along. So there's nine total folks involved in this project. They all have to give a presentation to the sales staff at DX Engineering. And Stefan, I hope you've studied up on this, because there will be a quiz afterwards. But they have to give a presentation on a few different bullet points that I've asked them to talk about. We're going to be on Facebook Live. We're going to record the event. There's going to be articles written. And if you want to learn a little bit more about this project, you can go to the K3LR website, which is at www.k3lr.com, and click on the youth button. And the slide deck that Marty's going to go through here in a few minutes is there, as well as an article that Ruth Willett, and she's 19 years old, but a really great article that she's written on team exuberance, is there also in PDF format. She's KM4LAO and a college student up in Michigan, and she is covering some of the event. We're going to have a lot of coverage here over the weekend. You can look for photos on the DX Engineering Facebook page, and I'm sure Marty and the rest of the team are going to be uploading things as we go along. But the most important thing is we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to work people all over the world. And when I say we're, I'm referring to the six youth, because none of the adults will make any QSOs during this deal. It is all about having the youth on the air, having fun. We're going to do a lot of coaching. We're going to make a lot of breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We're going to eat a lot of pizza and submarine sandwiches. But we're going to get on the air, and we're going to watch the youth just have a lot of fun. And, you know, before we get to Marty, I just wanted to ask David. He's been down here in the K3LR shack now for about an hour. What are your first thoughts, David, about this?
Well, when I first walked down here, I saw a bunch of plaques, a bunch of radios, and a bunch of wires. And to me, that's a good sign. So I was just very excited and sat down to the radio and started listening. And everything just works marvelous here. And I can't wait till tomorrow to see more.
Well, you know, at 15 years old, he's having the time of his life. And we're going to make sure that his eyes stay wide open. Marty, are you ready to go with your slides? And then we'll get into talking to David's father and asking some questions and going forward. You ready to go, Marty?
You got it, Tim. I just like to add, we're so excited for this. Certainly everybody here we're stoked. You know, I have a day of school to get through tomorrow before I jump on an airplane, and I'll be thinking radio all day to have no fear about it. But we're just so grateful for Tim and DX Engineering and everybody who's allowed this to happen, and it's going to be a great weekend.
All right.
Shall we jump into slides?
Yeah, Victor, put up Marty's slides.
There we go. Team Exuberant CQWPX phone at K3LR. Thank you so much. We are so excited about this fantastic weekend. So what's the goal? Let's take the next slide there, Victor. Perfect. Operate CQWPX SSB. And we're going to do that in the multi-two category. Multi-two means multi-operator, two transmitters. So we are going to have two transmitted signals on the air the whole weekend, essentially two bands at a time, right? So we'll be calling CQ on two different bands at a given time, say 15 meters and 20 meters or 40 meters and 80 meters. And we will actually be using four radios to do that. Every station on 80 meters through 10 meters at K3LR actually has two radios, and they're interlocked together. But we'll get into that in a little bit. But we are an all-youth team, as Tim said, six operators. We've been very fortunate to assemble a terrific team from around the world. And we want to see what we can do. You know, six of us, all under 21. And we're going to place a radio, and we are certainly giving it our best and trying to have the most fun we can. So Tim touched on this a little bit at the beginning. But Violetta, KM4ATT, got in touch with Tim after she operated from PJ2T at PJ as PJ2Y at the PJ2T Superstation in Curacao last summer about making this happen. And we decided we were going to do this. Multi-2 seemed like a great category, but how to pay for all of this? Anybody who's ever put together a contest operation or de-expedition or anything like that knows that there's a lot of complexity and financial expense in putting this together. Certainly flights and hotels and logistics and any sort of cost like that, we wanted to make it as affordable as possible for the operators, so the finances wouldn't be a hindrance, because not all teenagers have a bunch of money sitting around. So we started a GoFundMe, and we raised over $5,000 to make that happen. And I am proud to say that all of the major contest clubs in the U.S. contributed to this, and many, many hams. And we are so deeply grateful for the ham radio community's financial support of making this operation happen. If you'd like more information about that, you can go to our website, teamexuberance.org. That'll take you to the GoFundMe, where we have some information. And of course, without our gracious host, Tim Duffy, K3LR, and the whole DX engineering team, this could have never happened. So what makes us do well? Well, you can see if you're listening to looking at the video, there's lots of things on the road to success. But we kind of focused on three categories: putting together a strong team, using an excellent station, and really diligent planning. So what about that team, you ask? Well, we are just deeply fortunate. You can see this is just some of our team members here, but we have a really well-rounded team coming from three countries, and just really fantastic. So so we'll just run through these bios quickly. We have Tommy, HA9T, who is an operator at WRTC 2018 this year with DK6 Sugar Papa, and did quite well. He's an extremely talented CW op, extremely quick, extremely talented operator, and is a university student, 20 years old. And in his short ham radio career, he's already operated from big stations like HG8DX, LX7I, 9A, 1A, and so on. So we're really honored to have Tommy taking the award for the farthest traveled to operate from K3LR in this contest. Tommy is a great addition to our team. And then we have Bryant, as Tim mentioned. Bryant, KG5HVO, well-known to the Ham Nation community. He's been on the show before. He was last year's Young Ham of the Year, Bill Pasternak, Newsline Young Ham of the Year. He's 15 years old, amazing phone operator, amazing CW operator. Also one of the elite contesters who operated in the WRTC 2018 in Germany this summer. So really another fantastic operator. With Bryant. And next we have David, who obviously you saw sitting next to Tim, K3LR, all the way from Western Canada. And he has really only been active, I didn't know that, and didn't know until talking to him on the air tonight, for about a year. But whoa, has he done some amazing things. 55 words a minute is truly impressive. He also has operated from down south, PJ2Y, with Violetta. And we're super lucky to have him on our team. And we have Levi, K6JO, formerly KK6NON, and briefly W6BQ, possibly a ham with the record for most call signs in the shortest amount of time. He has had some tremendous success operating and as a contester at both NX6T in California, and most recently, and really impressively, Zulu Fox 1 Alpha down in the Virgin Islands. And he is no slouch. They've won a number of contests down there. And then there's Violetta, our team leader, KM4ATT. She's operated from W3LPL during contests, as well as K3LR. PJ2Y, she's operated from home, really a talented operator. And loves the overnight shift, and she will be doing that at K3LR. So we're very lucky to have Violetta operating with us. And last but not least is myself. I've been fortunate to do a little bit of contesting in recent years, most recently from the K1LZ station outside of Boston, Massachusetts. And it's a tremendous honor to be a member of this fantastic team. So there's our team, a combined more than 10 contest wins, thousands of cues made in contests just this year. I was counting in the SSB Sprint contest that was on the air last weekend. Three out of the six operators that will be operating K3LR this weekend finished in the top 10 in their respective categories. So we've been really fortunate to put together a great team. Two WRTC competitors and operating from over 10 large superstations around the world, from ZF to 4X to 9A. And the average age is right around 16. So we are a young but enthusiastic crew. And I mentioned the second element of putting together a great operation is the station. K3LR Superstation, the biggest station in North America, 11 operating positions, 13 IC7851s. I love those radios. 26 booms, 164 transmitting elements. It turns out there's more than that, actually. Miles of coax, miles of heliax, 11 homebrew 8877 1500-watt tube amplifiers for a nice, big, punchy, clean signal running legal limit power, and tons of coffee. So K3LR is certainly a ham radio mecca for contesting, and we are deeply fortunate to be able to use, obviously, such a terrific station, and we want to make sure we take full advantage of it as much as possible. So I talked about it a little bit earlier, but I'll touch on it here. The K3LR station has 11 operating positions, two on each of the contest bands, 10 through 80 meters. So we will always have, for the most part, two operators on a given frequency band. So for, say, on 20 meters, one operator will be calling CQ, and another operator will just be tuning around, finding other contacts to work. And between when the run station is transmitting, the search and pounce station will be making those contacts. So that requires some tremendous hardware, multiple stacks on every band, and we're very deeply fortunate to be able to use the K3LR station. And planning. Anybody who operates or leads a multi-operator contest team cannot tell you about the amount of paperwork and analytics and planning that goes into a successful contest operation. The Excel spreadsheet for planning the Team Exuberance operation, I believe, has now over 12 sheets within it. So certainly lots of analytics. We've worked to make operator schedules, rate goals, travel logistics, sleep schedules, team handbooks, very big team handbook, and propagation analysis, among other things, to be best prepared. We certainly want to take advantage of this amazing opportunity. And so we've done our homework, Bob. And that has meant that we've looked at a lot of previous contest logs, how other teams have done in this category, in this contest, how the K3LR station performs. And you can see below that photo is kind of what we're hoping for some of our contest rates. And obviously, there are hopes, and we're going to try the best we can to do that. And we've also talked to a lot of mentors. Yes, we are all young hams on the air contesting, but we certainly have been able to really talk to the experts in this field. We've been extremely grateful for a number of hams who have just really given us lots of hours of tips and tricks. And K3LR, when you're on 20 meters at this time, what antenna combination do you use, and frequency open propagation openings and windows to look at. And K1AR, John Doerr and Dan N6MJ have been extremely helpful there. So we're extremely fortunate to have had a great group of mentor hams to help us. And during the weekend, besides parent mentors, we will also have Tim, obviously, and Tim K3LR and Tim W3YQ will be in the shack helping us out, never making a contact, but giving us advice and feedback and consultation and refinement are really important to making good scores and being successful. So this is just the start, right? This is one operation. This is Team Exuberance attempt or contest number one of what we hope is just the start of more team-like team youth organized contests in North America. In Europe, a program similar to this, known as YCP, run by the folks who put on Yoda in Europe, have been extremely successful. And we're hoping to do a little bit of replication of that. So we hope this is just the start. YARC, Young Amateur Radio Club, I might be busting that. YARC.org has put together the YCT North America program, and they're trying to match youth with contest station owners and youth with normal station owners. And we hope that we're really going to start a pattern and a culture of inviting youth and other operators into other people's stations to build multi-operator teams of young people for contesting, because we think contesting is a terrific facet of ham radio, even if it's only one facet. And I've been so deeply fortunate to take away so many things from contesting, the people I've met, the places I've been able to go. And it's such a deep honor. So we think this is just the beginning of something really, really fantastic. And I know I've talked to other HABs in the U.S. I know the VOA Museum will be on with a youth team this weekend, Whiskey Charlie 8 Victor Ocean Alpha. And also I know K9 Charlie Tango will have a youth operator from Bradley University. So lots of young people on the air, and we want this to just go crazy. And we can't be grateful enough. Tim, WK3LR, W3YQ, and I mentioned Dan, N6MJ, and Terry, K8MNJ. Thank you so much, Terry. Terry's been extremely helpful. And the rest of the DXEE team, we are so really honored. And the rest of our Elmers, and if I listed all of the Elmers and mentors that contributed to this, it would take pages and pages. So we're just so eternally grateful for making this happen. And we want to see you on the air this weekend. We will be radioactive from K3LR, and we want you to be too. Everybody, we want to work everybody. If you're breathing, we want you in our log. And look for us on the air. So we are super excited for what I think will be an amazing weekend at K3LR this weekend. And I know that the team is super excited. We have a fantastic day planned for Friday at DX Engineering and then K3LR. And then we're going to embark in 48 hours of radio bliss. And we will be on the air. And we hope you join us. And it'll be a lot of fun.
So, Bob, you know, Marty has put together a spectacular presentation that you just saw. And, you know, obviously there'll be a replay available of Ham Nation. But the slides are available also on K3LR.com under the Youth button, along with Ruth Willett's article. And I will continue to add information and photos about this weekend and all the activities here. But, you know, one of the most important parts of amateur radio and getting youth involved, behind every successful youth are great parents. And Stefan, who is VE7KY, you know, he grew up in Romania. And 10 years ago, he decided to pack up his family, his wife and young David, and move to British Columbia and to make a better life. And but he had ham radio. Stefan had amateur radio as his parachute, his go-to, because he could contact hams in British Columbia to help him get started in his new life. And Stefan, you have nurtured David and been a big part of his life and his success. You love CW, and he loves CW. You've got to be very excited about this opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely, Tim. So actually, it goes back a little bit. My father was also a ham radio operator, and he loved CW. And I also learned CW when I was 14. So I grew up with CW. So yeah, you said it right. When we moved up here to VE7, I knew that I can count on many VE7s. And actually, I contacted Dale, VE7SV, and he was my mentor in contesting in a new country. So it's a fantastic hobby. And definitely, whenever you go in the world, you have a parachute, as you said it. And I'm so excited to be here, and I'm very grateful for this opportunity. And as a parent, I would like to thank you and for all the donors and the sponsors for making this possible, because for a for a teenager at this age, 14, 15, 17, 18, to have ham radio at such a high level, it's phenomenal. It gives you access to the whole world. Life becomes rich, and you got to know people all around the world, and you see your eyes really, really open. So thank you very much for this opportunity, and we are really looking forward to a very exciting weekend.
Well, it's fabulous to see parents that are so engaged in a hobby that really can change the course of youth. And, you know, David, you're homeschooled, but part of your homeschooling is that you get credit for some of the stuff that you do with amateur radio. So you were involved in digging a hole for your tower that for you and your dad's station, and figuring out the guy wires and where they're going to go and what angles they're in. And you got math credit for that, for doing ham radio. You know, if I could have got that when I was in high school, I would have graduated at the top of the class. But not only that, in 2 years, you hold the top license in Canada with honors. And that is that's great. And you must really enjoy going to high school.
Yes. I'm very fortunate to be able to be a part of this homeschooling program. And whenever I build antennas or dig holes or climb towers or do anything radio related, I can make it count for school. So, for example, I'll talk to a German station and he'll be in Hamburg, and I'll search up a little bit about the history, and that's kind of my history class, and I'll read some books about it, and that'll be history. I'll write a report, and I really couldn't ask for anything more from this homeschooling program.
So, and I guess you're a little bit old school too. I know, you know, you grew up with the internet, but you actually like the paper QSL cards too.
Yes, that's one of my hobbies, another hobby in a hobby. I always try to send out QSL cards to DX stations and even just regular stations that I work, because I feel like it's an aspect of amateur radio that's kind of being forgotten, and it can really be interesting, especially for me. When I get a QSL card from Germany, I can take a look at the history again and location, geography, all sorts of things, and I'm really interested in that. So I appreciate QSL cards and when people do send cards, so I try to keep track of them.
So you were with Violetta down in Curacao at PJ2Y. What kind of an experience was that?
I think that's what really got me going. After going down to Curacao and meeting a bunch of people, a bunch of great mentors that have helped me, and it really opened my eyes as to what this hobby can bring. And just traveling the world, meeting people, contesting, I really don't know how to explain it. It's just something magical that everybody would like to do, especially myself. So it opened my eyes, and that's the track I want to be on. So I'm really grateful for that trip, and I cannot be more happy to be here.
Well, you know, that the David Coulter Youth DX project is just a super way for youth to be exposed to so many things in this hobby and get the trip of a lifetime. And I'm very thankful that David and Marty and Violetta and Bryant, Levi and Tommy are going to come here this weekend. And we're going to have plenty of parental guidance and make sure that they have stay well hydrated and don't sleep very much. Sleep is overrated, especially during a 48-hour contest. So, Marty, are you going to be able to sleep tonight? I mean, you know, you got to get on a plane tomorrow. You got to go to school tomorrow, but you got to be really excited.
I am so excited, Tim, and I think we just have such a fantastic weekend put together here. I'm beyond excited. It's certainly the experience of a lifetime, and I'm deeply honored to be a part of it.
Well, Bob, I got to tell you, we're all stoked up. You know, on Friday, we're going to go to DX Engineering, have a nice lunch, give some presentations, take a tour, maybe go down to the candy store and get a few things at DX Engineering to bring back. And then the fun starts. You know, they got to learn how to operate the station. We'll turn on all the radios, the 28 rotor controls, and turn on the amplifiers and start making contacts. So, Bob, I think it's going to be a great weekend, and I hope everybody can tune in on the contest. Work lots of stations, and if you happen to come by K3LR, make sure you say hello.
You know, Bob had to duck out, but this is absolutely amazing, Tim. I had no idea that this Team Exuberance thing had such exuberance with it. I mean, this is I don't even know how to describe it. This is amazing, the things that are going to happen this weekend. in this contest with these six amazing young people, two of which are Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year recipients. And I personally could not be more proud of that and my friendship with Bryant and with Marty. Marty, great job tonight, dude. Jimmy, just very impressive. Well, you always have been an impressive young guy. And Tim, you're okay, too. It's good to see you on here, Marty. It really is. I want to ask you a question real quick, Marty. How did the experience of your year as a Young Ham of the Year, can you kind of describe that a little bit to us since we don't have Bryant on with us tonight?
It's the Young Ham of the Year award is a deep, deep honor, Don. I'd say it's one of the best experiences I've had with amateur radio thus far. Both my experience accepting the award in Huntsville and everybody I got to talk to and work with, it was a really, really, really special experience. And I was surrounded by a great crew, Bryant on one side and Skyler on the other. So worthy ham radio people, and people have made such great contributions. I'm kind of surrounded by ham radio royals, and I look forward to whoever gets the award this year. And I believe nominations are still open for it, right, Don?
They are. Nominations opened the first of this month, the first of March, and they go until the end of May. And then, of course, we will all convene the third weekend in August, which is exactly 3 months after Dayton. That's an easy way to remember that, at the Huntsville, Alabama Ham Fest. And we'd like to see you come down there, too, if you could sometime. Just an awesome
I'll be there.
Time. But good. Well, I could not be more proud of you, Marty, and I'm proud that you're a Young Ham of the Year, and I'm also extremely proud to call you friend. Just amazing. And Tim, the group that you guys have put together, you and Marty and everybody else and Violetta, it is without compare, and I hope that this starts a movement. I really, really do. A lot in the same way that the youth movement is going strong over in Europe. I hope that this is the Kickstarter for something like that stateside. I really do, Tim.
Yeah, I think there's a great chance of that, Don. And we've already seen, as Marty pointed out, K9CT and other stations. I know NP2X down in the Virgin Islands is going to have youth involved. And there are stations over in Europe that are doing the same thing. I know Karsten, DM9EEE, did it during the ARL and CQ contests. So this is the start of something really, really good. And this is how this hobby will continue on. We've got some very key, excited youth. And when they see that excitement grow to their friends, that it's going to multiply and really be something special. So, Don, I can't thank you, Bob, and the rest of the Ham Nation team enough for giving us time to kind of explain this whole thing and what Marty and Violetta have put together. And, we hope to come on in future weeks to give you an idea of how it all worked out and what the heck happened, because I think it's going to be a great story to tell. I know that Violetta, KM4ATT, is part of the contest forum during Hamvention. So she'll be giving a presentation on Team Exuberance. And just stay tuned, because I think you're going to see a whole lot more going on with youth and amateur radio and in contesting and in other parts of amateur radio as we go forward. So, Don, thanks very much for having us tonight. And if you feel free to email us and we'll answer any questions and be available. And it's all about having fun.
Absolutely. And all about the youth, too. And I couldn't be more excited about this. And I'm not much of a contester. I haven't quite got my – I haven't dipped my toe in that pond quite very deep yet. But I think I'm going to be on the air looking for you guys this weekend. And as you know, the youth was very, very important to Bill Pasternak, the late great WA6ITF, the founder of Newsline and the Young Ham of the Year Award. And that's why he started the Young Ham of the Year Award, was to honor and foster youth and education and amateur radio. And I'm certainly hopeful that this is the spark that lights a huge fire. And I could not be more proud of you guys and more excited for this. And I really hope this is the start of something big. I think it will be. And speaking of Amateur Radio Newsline and Bill Pasternak, we've had the Newsline report coming up for you next. But first, I need to tell you that our lead story is now outdated. Our lead story is about the Bouvet Island de-expedition being on its way, but of course they turned around today because of weather. The captain called it off. So it's on again, off again, on again, off again, unfortunately. So let's go ahead and we'll hear that report, and with keeping that in mind, and of course the rest of the news, and then we'll have some information from Dr. T in the solar update. So let's go ahead and get into the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2160, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, March 27, 2019. The long-awaited Bouvet Island de-expedition is on.
The 3Y0I Bouvet Island de-expedition has at last set sail aboard the MV Atlantic Tuna for its destination, which the team expects to reach around March 26th, conditions permitting. The team departed South Africa on the 19th of March and has plans to stay between 2 and 4 weeks on the remote island, depending on various factors affecting safety. If you can't wait to get them in your log, listen for their call sign, E51DOM/MM, while they are en route. There is information on their website at bouvetoya.org about how to track their progress. The team notes that it will not be monitoring personal emails or any of the DX clusters during the activation. Expect their glacier camp on the island's southeast corner to provide an open view to Europe and Japan, but mountains in the northwest directions to the U.S. They write on their website, quote, "Stay tuned for further updates and cross your fingers for us. History has begun."
That's Newsline anchor Stephen Kinford, N8WB, reporting. Organizers of a special VOIP net are getting ready to celebrate World Amateur Radio Day in April, and all the connections ham radio has played a role in for so many decades.
When the International Amateur Radio Union was created in 1925, no one could have envisioned the changes that would shape the hobby so many decades later, including internet-linked modes such as Echolink and IRLP. Using the special event call sign W2W, a 12-hour VOIP net will be among those on the air around the world marking the occasion, celebrating amateur radio and the friendships the hobby has built. This 12-hour net will begin taking check-ins on the 18th of April, beginning at 1600 UTC. It's accessible via IRLP Reflector 9251, the World Conference server. And for the first time, check-ins will also be possible from All-Star Node 47620, the World Conference Hub. John DeRakey, W2JLD, said, "A special World Amateur Day 2019 QSL card will be available for all participants who contact one of the 10 different net controllers during the event." For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
On Sunday nights at 7 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time, some of the world's youngest radio enthusiasts are taking time out to get to know one another better.
This is the Young Operators Digital VoiceNet and is hosted on the QuadNet Array, which draws operators from DMR, D-Star, and Yaesu Fusion. At the helm is 10-year-old Danielle Edgington, KE8JNU, daughter of Dan, N8YMD, and Cindy, KE8JNT. Though Danielle is a relatively new ticket holder, her enthusiasm for radio dates back to all those car rides listening to her father's scanners and radios. Now, she's spreading that enthusiasm with other new licensees or licensed candidates who check in as a third party using the call sign of a nearby parent. Danielle told Newsline they include Katie in Alabama, whose father Russell, KV4S, helps her participate and who might become net control one day, too. They recently included 7-year-old Carson, who checked in from Georgia with his father Aaron, N4ARY, coaching him. The net has even had DX from young hams in Trinidad and Tobago, the Philippines, and England. Danielle told Newsline that even if the kids start out a little nervous, as they often do, they always check out knowing that they are very welcome. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5CXP.
Youngsters wishing to check in should visit the QuadNet Array website at openquad.net for details on how to gain access via Yaesu System Fusion, D-Star, Echolink, DMR, and even the Peanut app on Android smartphones. And speaking of kids, a reminder that the nominating period is now open for the Newsline WA6ITF Young Ham of the Year Award. Full details and the nominating form can be found on our website, arnewsline.org, under the YHOTY tab. We'll present the award in August at the Huntsville Ham Fest in Alabama. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Stephen Kenford in 8WB, Dave Parks, WB8 ODF, Mike Askins, KE5 CXP, Karen Eve Murray, KD2 GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5 DW. 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. All right, good stuff from the Ham Nation group, and let's go ahead and get into the slides that we have now from Dr. T. She's not with us via video, but she does give us the solar storm and auroral outlook, and after the solar storm fizzle of a few days ago, she says we're still on the track to get a pocket of fast solar wind hitting, which could bring aurora to high latitudes for a few days and mid-latitudes briefly. Expect mild issues with radio propagation on Earth's night side. More activity on the gray line and auroral propagation is possible. Things should settle down as we move through the weekend. The solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook. No doubt everybody noticed the big boost in solar flux and dayside radiation propagation due to rogue active region 2736 as it worked its way across the Earth-facing sun this past week. But alas, it has now disappeared behind the sun's west limb, and we won't see it again for another 2 weeks. As such, the solar flux is now tanked, and we're back to poor radio propagation conditions on the day side of Earth. They expect these poor conditions to continue for another week before things have a chance to get better. And, of course, you should follow her on Twitter, at Tamitha Scove, and check out her website, spaceweatherwoman.com. Everything you need to know about solar weather is right there, and she condenses it down into an easy-to-understand format. You cannot go wrong. You need to follow her on Twitter, at Tamitha Scove. You can't go wrong with Amanda either, and we'll have her in the chat room coming up next after this word from ICOM.
Create your own band opening with the IC9700. ICOM's newest SDR transceiver, the IC9700, is coming soon. This new radio is bringing direct sampling to the UHF-VHF weak signal world. The IC9700 all-mode transceiver is loaded with innovative features, such as dedicated amateur satellite operation, color touchscreen, built-in D-Star capability, RF direct sampling on 2 meters and 70 centimeter bands, dual independent receivers capable of full duplex operation as well as dual watch, 100 watts maximum output power on 2 meters, 75 watts max on 70 centimeters, and 10 watts max on 1.2 gigahertz. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
Attention all hams!
ICOM knows that ham clubs play a big role in bringing ham communities together to learn from their peers and industry leaders. As a way to give back and help you on your mission, ICOM has launched a promotion exclusively for U.S. ham clubs and the ham fest they're involved with. By registering your club, you could win ICOM swag, a Skype presentation for your club, or your ham fest, an ICOM booth setup. Register today for your chance to win at icomamerica.com/hams. After each episode of Ham Nation, go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and register to win for great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats, and you'll automatically be entered in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. For March, that new radio is the ICOM ID51A Plus 2 VHF UHF D-Star Portable, built-in GPS, D-Star and FM repeater search functions, and it's got extended D-Star coverage, DVFast data mode, terminal mode, and access point mode. And there's a free Android app available for download, and a lot more. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. Randy wants to know what you've been building. Send him your photos and descriptions, no videos, please, to hamprojects@twit.tv, let him know what you've been building, wrenching, soldering, or drilling, and you could be included in an upcoming episode of Show Us Your Projects. That's hamprojects@twit.tv.
Hello, everyone. All right, let's get to it. We have some great questions. First of all, what a wonderful segment tonight. This team exuberance, I'm overwhelmed. I can't get over it. Yeah, you have some great, great operators there on your hands, Tim. So I'm going to ask them a couple questions, if nobody minds. Marty, I'm going to start with you. What got you into ham radio in the first place? How did you find such a passion for this?
Oh, well, that's a great question, Amanda. I actually found ham radio, believe it or not, on the internet. And it was almost, 5 years ago now. And I didn't know any hams. There was no hams in my family. And I showed up to a test and they said, so you're going to take your ham radio exam? I said, yes, I'd like to. And so who's your father? Who's your grandfather? Who do you know that's a ham? I said, well, nobody. I just wanted to get my ham radio license. And I did, and I passed. And as they say, the rest is history. About 4 months later, I got on HF, and trust me, I never turned off the radio since. And since then, I've been really fortunate. I've been able to operate around the world from many different stations, and it's been an amazing ride. Ham radio is an amazing hobby that opens just fantastic doors and opportunities, and I'm really excited and fortunate to be part of it.
Absolutely. And you make a ton of friends, but you know what? There's a little unknown fact, I think, Marty, right? You have a sister that's a ham as well.
I do have a sister as a ham and a mother as a ham. They both surprised me in getting their ham radio licenses. They are KC1IDK and KC1IDH, and they both got licensed over almost 18 months ago now. And it was a great gift that they both got licensed. And my mom is actually sometimes active on a local repeater. So we are now three quarters ham in the family.
Amazing. Now let's go to the other ham family out there in Ohio. So we have Dave and Stefan, and this is cool. So Dave, I'm going to go ahead and assume I kind of already know how you got interested in ham radio. But tell me, what made you stick with it, and what's your most passionate mode in ham radio?
I really enjoy CW, Morse code, and I do lots of Morse code contests. And I think what made me stick with radio is all the people that have helped me and all the mentors that have helped me get where I am. And they really encourage me and push me to go forward. Without them, I would not be where I am today and would not be so happy here in the hobby. It's just amazing. But my favorite mode is definitely Morse code. And I'm on almost every day from home in British Columbia.
Very nice. Now, this one's for Dad, Stefan. You've been in ham radio, obviously, your whole life. And what made you stick with it? And how did you get your son involved?
Yes, certainly. I've been in ham radio for 30 years. And David grew up with ham radio. And he grew up at my father's station the first 2 years. Ham radio is a very, very rich hobby. It gives you a lot of opportunities. I work in language business. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for ham radio. So that gave me the opportunity to practice my language skills, meet people, learn a lot of technical stuff, and have a better view about the world. So definitely ham radio opens doors, like Marty said, and just lays the opportunities down on the table. It's a very, very, very great educational hobby, and I strongly suggest for teenagers, they can pick anything they want within the ham radio hobby. They cannot go wrong.
I kind of agree with you, Stefan. One of my things is every new country I work, I have to Google them right away to find out everything about the country. And I find that so amazing to learn about all of these new countries I work during a DX contest. And Tim, I'm going to send this question to you as well, because you've just been in the hobby for so long. What really got you interested in ham radio?
Well, it all started with a crystal radio when I was 11 years old. And so, you know, I was in fifth grade then. And when I was 12, one of my classmates said, the guy across the street talks to people around the world. And I said, could you take me to his house? I mean, that was the real thing. And so once I saw that, we went upstairs into the attic and he was talking to somebody in Brazil. And Amanda, I turned to my schoolmate and I said, I don't care what else goes on in my life. I want to do that.
I can't think of anything more wonderful. And, you know, you guys, we all know that Joe Walsh is a ham radio operator as well. And I think the thing that got him into it is he was walking through his neighborhood and he saw an antenna on somebody's apartment building. And he said, "What is that? I've got to know." And he went and knocked on his door and found out all about ham radio. So, and then you're hooked for life. It's just an amazing hobby. Now, I want to go back to Marty for one, because Marty was another visitor at the Last Man Standing set, which, by the way, they've wrapped up taping for the year. So they're done with all of the visitors and operating from the set. But if you ever managed to get there to do that, it was an amazing experience. So I just want to hear a few sentences from you, Marty. How was it to go visit Last Man Standing and to operate from there?
Oh, sure. I'm going to start with one thing, though, about what you're saying about ham radio and education. I think ham radio is a terrific education. You know, I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was in a history class in school, and they started talking about politics in the South China Sea. Well, hey, if you want to go to BS7H or BS7, you're going to want to know something about politics in the South China Sea, and I happen to know about those. Or talking about some of the U.S. outlying territories like KH1 or Navassa or Palmyra or any of those things that we know so much about as ham radio operators. So that's certainly a lot of fun, and look at all the engineering skills one learns. If you asked me 5 years ago if I'd be like laying out circuit boards and designing things and where I'd gain those skills, well, ham radio is where it's at. And Last Man Standing, ooh, what an amazing experience. The whole team out there was really fantastic. John, AA6JA, and the whole crew operating KA6LMS was just really fantastic. And I'm proud to say that they licensed Jet and his father this season, who now has a zero call that I'm blanking on. But I did talk to Jet on D-Star and HF, and I hope to do more with that. That's super exciting.
It is absolutely exciting. And Jet is a very up-and-coming actor. He's been involved in Disney. He's also a musician. So look forward to a lot from that actor. He plays Boyd in the show, if anyone doesn't know who we're talking about. Amazing, amazing. And when you talk to him, he's not a kid. This guy he's an adult all the way. Even though he is a kid, he's an adult. All right. Don, how do you feel about Team Exuberance here? I mean, are you not overwhelmed? This is an amazing crew that K3LR has operating out of their station this weekend.
You know, I was studying for my ham radio license when I was 15 years old. CB radio got me into that. And then all of a sudden, Girls in Cars, I got distracted. And it was 20 years later when I was 35 that I finally got my ticket. And when I look back at those two decades wasted, it makes me sick. Man, let me tell you something. If I was 15 and there would have been something like Team Exuberance available to me, I would have jumped all over it. So these are some fortunate kids, luckiest in the world. But I think the luckiest guy that we've talked to tonight is probably K3LR, because not only does he have the means to share this with these youth and everybody else, but he does it. I mean, he's just the most Tim, you're a lucky guy, and we're all fortunate to have you share your mega station with Team Exuberance. I can't wait to hear these guys on the air this weekend.
It is really something special, and I got to tell you that I am the fortunate one getting to host this, and having Violetta ask me, and having Violetta and Marty and so many other mentors help these kids. I'm just tickled to be involved, and tickled that they picked this station and this operation to have fun with. You know, I've met and visited hams all over the world. DL1QQ has been on the show here. It was my WRTC teammate this past July. I would have never met Sandy had it not been for ham radio and had those experiences. So we're creating memories here this weekend. We're creating things that these kids will take forward. They will talk about it. They will give presentations on the internet to their local radio clubs. They will be an inspiration for other youth. And I'm just thrilled to be a small part of it.
Well, you know, it's the spirit of Elmering, and it goes along with the spirit of Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, who started the Young Ham of the Year Award. It's passing it on and making sure that the hobby survives. And I can't be more proud of you, Tim, for everything that you do to share the hobby. And we're fortunate to have you and to have all these young operators who are passionate about the hobby. Amanda, go ahead.
I did have one question. Now, we're talking about the DX contest this weekend. Let's make sure it's okay. Can the stateside folks work you guys and say hello this weekend?
You got it, Amanda.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely, Amanda. We want to talk to everybody. As Marty knows, every QSO is worth points, and we want to work everybody as many times on every band. So Marty has got a very aggressive total that he wants to hit every hour, and so it's going to take all the QSOs. You know, Dr. T did not deliver the best inspiration when it comes to conditions this week. So, I think they're going to have a lot of QSOs here in the United States and Canada. So load them up, Amanda.
You got it, Amanda. And if they get on to work us, we want them working everybody else. Everybody on the air talking to everybody. We really think that this is a great contest to get on and tune the dial a little bit, see who's on, and maybe you'll stumble on us too.
Okay, and I did hear somebody had mentioned in the chat room, I might not have heard this mentioned, are you going to be going live on some of this video this weekend, Tim?
Yes, so we will have some short segments of Facebook Live. So we will be doing interviews with some of the operators, and you'll hear some of the live audio from the ICOM radios that we use here at K3LR. So it should be a great time. Stay tuned to Facebook. And the DX Engineering Facebook channel, and Marty's very active there, as well as many of the other operators. So look for great things all weekend long coming out of Team Exuberance here in Western Pennsylvania.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. And I have so many things going on this weekend, but I can't wait to get on the radio. All right. Before we wrap it up, I'm just going to go over tonight's nets. We're not going to have a 40-meter net tonight. He says the bands are a no-go. Dr. T was right. Dang it. And let's try 80 meter or 75 meters on 3905. And we have DMR on TAC 311 and D-Star on 14 Charlie. So let's see if we can hear you there. And Don, so fun to talk with you this weekend. It was NXDN / Fusion. So that was interesting, but it was fun to have a contact with you, my friend. And I'm going to let you go ahead and wrap this up.
Yeah, something like that. You know, I finally got my $50 open spot that I bought at a Hamfest a couple of weeks ago. I got that up and running. And I tried to get into your system on D-Star, and I couldn't make it work for some strange reason. But I said, well, you know what? If I can get in on DMR and come out on Fusion, and that was the simplest thing. I mean, it was so simple. So good. Well, I'm glad to be part of your fun machine. And I need to do some IDs for you guys, especially now that you've changed that call sign over there. So expecting those. Send me some ideas on what you want me to say on those or whatever, and I'll be more than happy to do them. So, yeah, it's great. These digital modes, these VOIP modes, it's a great way to get on the radio. You know, and it's still radio. You're coming out over a repeater. It's still radio. It's just a different way to get it's a different kind of remote operation is all it is. So, man, D-Star, DMR. Yaesu System Fusion, it's all good. It's all good in the hood, that's for sure. We have had an amazing show. Thank you, Amanda. Appreciate you being here tonight. We've had an amazing show tonight. We've had Riley Hollingsworth. We've had Team Exuberance, K3LR, Amanda, some goofy guy from South Mississippi, and it's just been amazing, Bob as well. And so we're so excited to be able to share the word about Team Exuberance with you guys. And get on this weekend and give them some context. This is just amazing. And if you know of a worthy young radio amateur who you think would be a good Young Ham of the Year Award recipient, get on the arnewsline.org website. Click on that YHOTY tab, and that's where you'll find the downloadable nominating form. Fill that out and email it back to us. And you see two of those young hams Young Hams of the Year right there. In the ICOM shirt is Brian, and of course Marty there in the red shirt in the top center. Those are former Young Ham of the Year recipients, and who knows, there may be some future recipients in that picture. Every time at Huntsville, I look out into the audience and I see youth. I think, you know, there's a future Young Ham sitting out there in the audience. And the last two or three years, I've been right. So proud to be part of what Bill Pasternak started. So with that, we will wish you all good night, good DX, notwithstanding Dr. T's horrible sunspot news, and get on the air this weekend and work these young ops. And we'll see you next week right here on Ham Nation. So good night, everybody. 7-3. Appreciate you being here.